Turns out that, like, once popular mood rings, distant stars thought to be planet-free are actually sporting rings of exoplanets. Astronomers have charted thousands of exoplanets and estimate that there could be 20 billion or more habitable planets just in our own galaxy. And with 200 million galaxies in the universe, we are way behind in naming these planets something other than, say, 42 Draconis B or PSR 1257 plus 12C. Scientists like those sort of names. But now the International Astronomical Union has released new names for 32 exoplanets and 14 stars they revolve around. Names like Orbitar, Musica, and Poltergeist. The names were proposed by various astronomy groups and voters from 182 countries. For more on this, we turn to Sarah Seeger, exoplanet astronomer at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. This is kind of populist science here, right, Sarah?
Yes, it definitely is. But it's great that people can contribute to naming exoplanets.
And there's nothing scientific about naming, but there is something very important about getting citizens involved in the new missions to explore the exoplanets that you're working on right now.
Well, definitely. And we have this phrase, the sky is for everyone, and so are the planets.
Who judged these names?
Well, they were voted on, actually, by the general public. So the process that the naming body, International Astronomical Union, used was quite democratic, actually. First, they had people choose which stars and planets to actually name. Then they solicited proposals from organizations, and then they let the public vote on the proposed names.
And what were the rules? I mean, I'm assuming I wouldn't have been able to name a planet My Mom Nancy.
Right, exactly. There were a list of rules, about 6 or 7 bulleted points, so no names of living people. So unfortunately, we couldn't propose John Hockenberry, for example.
I think that's totally fine, actually.
Nothing offensive and things like that, not after your pet or anything. So they were sort of a generic list of names. But I think they were also hoping, and this worked out, that the clubs, the organizations, would screen anything that was rude or inappropriate. And so hopefully only really good names were proposed.
You know, you said there could be no John Hockenberry planet, but apparently there is a Sarah Seeger asteroid.
Right. This is my own personal opinion that someday we may name exoplanets after people when we have enough of them, so we feel like we're not really limited in any way.
What are the missions that are out there? You've described them once for us, but again, they're so fascinating in the methodology that they're going to use to further explore the exoplanets. Give us a thumbnail.
Well, there's so many missions, and actually it relates to the planet names. Probably the most famous mission out there is the Kepler Space Telescope, which completed its primary mission and found thousands and thousands of planets. So if you come across a planet with the name Kepler, Kepler 186b, for example, you know that that was one of the planets discovered by Kepler. There are other missions, many other telescopes we use to study planets. Kepler was the first dedicated mission for exoplanets. One of my main jobs right now is working on an MIT-led NASA mission called TESS, Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, and we're going to launch in 2017 on a SpaceX Falcon 9. So we actually watch the SpaceX launches very closely.
How will the transiting satellite work? And then describe, before we go, the shadowing system that's also proposed and on the drawing board.
Well, the transiting technique right now, it's the only way we have to find very small planets. And the TESS mission will actually be an all-sky survey. It'll spend 1 year looking at fields of the sky, 90-degree strips of sky at a time, each for about a month, all across the one hemisphere. And then the next year, it'll look across the next hemisphere. And I'll tell you what, we really think that the whole entire world of professional astronomers is on board to help follow up the signals we find to find out whether or not they're planets. Now, actually, I'm really happy you asked about my absolute favorite project. We call it Starshade. And that would come much later. We're in the process of developing the technology and getting the project to a level where we can actually plan to build it. And Starshade will be a giant screen in space, about 30 meters, about 100 feet in diameter. That's huge. And the Starshade is a specially shaped screen that would fly tens of thousands of kilometers from a telescope, also in space. The two things would be in space, and the Starshade would block out the starlight so only the planet light enters the telescope. The reason we're so enthused about the Starshade is it'll be our first chance to find a true Earth twin, a planet like Earth orbiting a star like the Sun.
Sarah Seeger is an exoplanet astronomer at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Get back to work now.
I will. I'll be working on the Starshade.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Hey, you know, you can listen back to our series on exoplanets we did last spring. You can just head over to thetakeaway.org.